Day Fiancé podcast. Today we're going to be talking about Season 9, Episode 5 of 90 Day Fiancé. My name is Marty and I'm here with Jen.
What up? Hola.
Let's go ahead and get started with Emily and Kobe. Well, Kobe is uncomfortable about Emily breastfeeding in front of her parents and just kind of whipping out the titty and sticking a pump on it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm all for breastfeeding, obviously. Do what you want to do.
Sure.
But I don't know. It is a little bit weird to do it in front of your dad, but at the same time, privacy of your own home. I don't know how I feel about it. I think that it is. I just thought it was kind of funny how at the end, Emily talks about how, you know, oh, it was super awkward talking about breastfeeding in front of my dad, but it's
But the actual breastfeeding isn't?
Yeah, but not having your titties out in front of your dad
right.
is not
like,
awkward.
That's not an issue?
Like, talking about it's weird. Having your titties out, though, is not weird. So that
yeah.
was...
And let's face it, Emily runs that house.
Absolutely.
It's just that simple. So it doesn't matter if daddy has an issue with it or not.
She's going to have her titties
she's
out.
She's just going to do it. She rules the roost.
Yep. I also enjoyed how when they were talking about it and having this argument, the dad was like, oh, I don't want to get in the middle of this, you know, first discussion. But there he is. Like, he put like a piece of paper down on the coffee table.
Uh-huh.
He played with like a little toy. It's like, if you're trying not to be a part of it, you're really not trying
like,
that hard.
He doesn't want to get involved yet.
He's just
gets
hovering.
Involved
yeah, I was super annoyed at him just hovering around this, you know,
that was annoying.
Conversation. It's like,
and
this
it's
isn't
like,
about you.
And
sir.
Emily is not self-aware, of course. But, I mean, Kobe's been here, like, what, a day, maybe two? Like maybe not argue with him in front of your parents? Like, you don't think that's a little bit awkward for him,
yeah.
that situation?
Definitely became, I mean, good for the mom. Like, you know, the mom was like, you know, I just don't want to get involved. And, you know, unlike dad. So that was at least good. But, you know, like you said, on the first day, maybe try to bring your arguments into, you know, private, you know? So,
right.
I mean, Kobe kind of brought it up in front of everyone. But at the same time, you know, when it started to escalate, maybe take it private or dad, get the heck out of the living room.
Or dad just, yeah, dad get
like,
out of
yeah,
the living
like,
room.
Yeah, like frig off, you know.
They're
just...
having an argument, back off, dude. So Emily mentioned having trouble producing milk early in her motherhood. And so maybe that's why she's very big on breastfeeding. I mean,
and maybe why she's so sensitive. That's kind of what she seems to
say. It's a sensitive subject because she had trouble in the beginning, which I think a lot of women, you know, we don't talk about it very much, but a lot of women do have trouble breastfeeding. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not always an option.
Yeah.
Also, it was funny when Kobe says something along the lines of, why can't she listen to me? Why can't she even try? Like, well, dude, this is the beginning.
Yeah. Yep. And she hasn't really listened to anything he said since he's
no.
gotten there, you know, about him being uncomfortable in the restaurant, uncomfortable as the only black man, and now about the breastfeeding. She's
mm-hmm.
just very... Just like anything that's not her opinion or about her, she just kind of shuts down
right.
immediately and just
and
tunes out.
I think a lot of this can be chucked up to cultural differences, right? So in Africa, you know, maybe the women don't just kind of whip out a titty and start breast pumping or feeding. But, you know, these are the type of cultural differences that people in these sort of relationships really need to
communicate.
Need to think about and
yeah.
communicate, you know?
Yep.
You know, Africa is very different from the United States, so.
And also you know. Him pointing out the length of time that she's been breastfeeding, where he's just like, yeah, it's, you know, you should be done by now. And, you know, I think that's again, you know, I know people that have breastfed till their child is 5 or more, you know. And
I've heard of that, yeah.
Again, I think it's a thing that you just, as a couple, talk about and, you know, kind of come to some kind of agreement or compromise
right.
on. And with
right.
probably most things with parenting, you know, when to stop
yeah.
using the pacifier, when to do, you know, just different things like
that's
that.
That's part of co-parenting. Yeah, you know, there's nothing in the world as good for a baby as, you know, breast milk,
mm-hmm.
of course. But at some point, like, it starts to get weird when the kid is like...
Like a full-size kid.
Like a full-size kid, and they're
yeah.
still gnawing on
like,
the titty.
What was it, Michael, Angela and Michael? How long wasn't it? Michael breastfed for a ridiculously long time, and that's why he said he loves breasts because he
what was it,
sucked
it was like
on
14
one for so
or something.
Yes, it was something crazy.
It was a pretty yeah. No, you're
like,
right.
I don't want no like you know women do you, but like I wouldn't want some like teenager preteen
that
you know
would be
in my lap
weird.
Sucking on
I
my
mean,
titties.
A full-on
like,
kid. I there was a video circling the internet years ago. I don't know if I can bring it back up, but there was a 4-year-old that was still breastfeeding. And that was so awkward to see. Like, it's like a monster crawling under this woman's shirt,
and
trying to get
it's
at the titty.
You know, if you can hold a cup and you can, or even if you're at an age where you can pour yourself a drink,
yeah.
Or, you know, it's like,
or,
it's,
you know, kids do move on to solid foods.
Yeah,
so
it's weird to, it's a little bit weird to be a, you know, full-grown, functioning, you know, somewhat independent child, and,
right.
You know, which 17 months is not at that point, you know,
no,
like that's not
no.
where you're not there yet.
It's still a baby.
But, you know, I think that Kobe is just, again, cultural
it's
differences.
Different. Yeah.
It's different, and
but
he maybe is worried that he'll be 10 and
yeah.
still sucking on titties.
I think there are people that will give Kobe a lot of shit about this, and not without reason, but, you know, in America, women get a lot of shit for breastfeeding. And they get a lot of shit for not breastfeeding.
Yeah,
so it's
and
like
where
mother,
they breastfeed, if they cover,
just,
if they don't. Yeah,
they just kind of get shit everywhere,
yep.
You know, all around. I kind of hate, though, that the one thing I don't like, well, one of the many things I don't like about Emily is any sort of cultural difference. She sort of relies on this, well, get used to it. This is America. Get used to it. It's like,
yeah.
Well, listen, the dude's going to have some culture shock. Allow him to feel that culture shock and work through it with him. Don't just take that defensive, like, well, that it is what it is.
Yep.
Get used to it. You know, eventually he's going to understand how Americans do things, and that's just going to be very different from Africa, but, you know.
Yep. And I mean,
give him some time here.
Aside
you know?
From cultural differences, too, I mean, there are some women that choose to never breastfeed. You know, I have
sure.
friends that have opted never to.
Breastfeeding can be very painful.
Yep. And so, so it really is just, you know, cultural difference or not. It really is, I think, just. The woman and, well, you know, a little bit of both, I guess it should be his decision. But
right.
I think it just depends on the woman, mostly of if they want to do it, how long they feel like doing it, if they can do it.
Sure.
You know, and
but
so.
Yeah, that's one thing that never gets discussed or very rarely gets discussed is that, you know, breastfeeding is not very comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Because you think, like, oh, it's a natural thing, so it's just easy and no problem. And it's like, no, actually, it can be quite painful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking raw nips. That's all.
Exactly. Chafed nips and shit. One thing that I don't think you can chuck up to cultural differences is the fact that Kobe doesn't want to share the titty
yeah, that's
with his son.
That's where, you know,
that's strange.
I was a little bit, you know, I was in the middle with the issue, you know, where Emily is like, you know, there's nothing wrong with me breastfeeding at 17 months. I'm like, okay, true.
Sure.
And then Kobe, you know, it was weird for him, you know, because everybody he knows hasn't breastfed that long. And
they
okay,
do it that
cool.
way, yeah.
But then when he was like, it seemed like his biggest reason for being against it was because he doesn't want to suck on the same titties as his son is also sucking
that's
on.
Weird.
So that's a little bit. And
I mean,
he
wouldn't
was
eat
like,
a chewed up cookie that your son had and like handed to you.
Right.
And did the same thing.
And I mean, yeah, I guess. And, you know, and he admitted, he's like, I don't want to sound selfish or anything, but, you know, and I mean,
yeah.
You know, and then I like the scene when they're at the kitchen table eating. And then Coben is like, I think he's breastfeeding, or he's at least just laying his head on a pretty exposed tit of Emily's.
Sure.
And Kobe just kind of side eyes down at the kid. And I'm just like, is that him thinking, you know, like,
leave
oh, my son, or
me,
yeah, or that, like sucking on my titties, Coben. You know, just
I mean, you know, as much as Kobe is kind of weird about the breastfeeding thing, Emily is disrespectful and controlling.
Yeah.
She's
definitely not even hearing him, you
no.
know, or validating his
No, she's
feelings.
Waiting for his mouth to close so she can continue with her point, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
She's just bossing him around, telling him to go help with dinner, and her parents are just kind of, like, backing her up, which
yep. even
is
Grandma said,
fucking
you know,
crazy.
Emily's the boss, we listen to her. You know, even Grandma said that, so.
Like, seriously? She's the boss? She pay any fucking bills?
And I think, I guess, a little bit to Emily's defense is she's been the single parent for, you know, the last 17 months. And so maybe she's having a difficult time giving up that, you know, of being used to doing her routine.
Oh,
like,
she definitely is.
Like the nighttime routine. I mean, she's used to doing everything the way she's done it. And now there's another
right.
person. But you have to kind of open up those talons a little bit, you know,
you have
because
to. You gotta
there's
let him
another
be a dad.
Person. Yep.
Yeah. You know, and that really bothered me, too, the nighttime routine thing. Like, oh, he's trying to sleep. We got to get to sleep. Leave
you're
him alone.
What'd
Go
you say? You're distracting
room.
Him or
distracting
you're,
him.
You know.
It's like, listen, what do you got an early day at the office tomorrow? You don't have a job.
Exactly.
Who gives a shit?
And again, it's
know?
His first night with his son. And you're telling him you have to go sleep in another bed because
right.
you're distracting. You're ruining our
Like, he already doesn't
routine.
Feel like he belongs. Like, and that's how you're going to help him?
And then also with the nighttime routine, did we get like a tiny, you know, like dick shot? Was that what that was?
I saw the screenshot. It It kind of looks like there's a little slug hanging out of his pants. I don't know.
Like I caught that, you know, briefly, like in the scene. And I was like, did I see what I just saw?
But you know, if he's that big flaccid, Godspeed. God bless him. Because that was, you know, that was impressive for, you know, flaccid.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I didn't rewatch the clip, but I did see the screenshot, and it's, you know.
Right. And Colby, you know what, made a really, really good point when they were arguing, and then she ended the arguing by bossing him around.
Yeah.
Like, telling him to go do stuff. It's like, well, wait a minute, that's not exactly healthy. He's got a point there, because it's like, you're going to end an argument by
with a command
more resentment.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you end an argument.
Yep. Like, and that's like... Yeah. Belittling him even more, you know, too, by doing that. And just, you know, I'm not going to hear you or listen to anything you said, and then now here's an additional task for you to do. By the way, right. Get out of this bed and go in the other room.
Yeah, that was obnoxious. And we learned a little bit more about Kobe's upbringing. He didn't really grow up with his dad. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that might explain some of the emotions he was going through. And he also told his proposal story, and I didn't understand a goddamn thing he said.
Yeah, like he tripped and fell and then had the ring in his pocket, but then yeah, he something or what? What
that
was that?
That was the first time where I'm like, what the fuck did he just say? Yeah, he fell and she caught him and he had his ring or I don't know.
Yeah.
And once again, it is not the thought that counts because she brought up again
that it's a
she
fake
wants a
ring.
Real ring. She
yep.
wants a real ring.
That too.
Because even
telling...
the dad says like, well, it's the thought that counts and shit.
Yeah. And she's like, no.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is. But I want a real ring. I'm like, you fucking scumbag. Yep.
And again, he's trying to tell, you know, a nice story and she's just like shitting on it. You know, like, oh, but it's
right.
a fake ring though. Oh, but it's a fake ring.
Like, why even bring that up?
Yeah.
Why even bring it up?
Like, he knows it is and he's told you he's going to get you a real one. Relax,
why
you know.
Just fucking relax. How about the loaded question of the fucking century? In your culture, who's the boss? Like really, dude?
Yep. Yep.
You're going to put him on the spot like that with grandma, meeting grandma for the first time, and, you know, it's kind of the first family dinner, at least the one that we're seeing anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, he asked that question. He knew damn well what
the answer would
Kobe
be.
Kobe was going to say.
He just set him know. Up. Set
he
him up for
set
failure.
Him up to make him look like an idiot again.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good old dad.
And then... her dad talking about Kobe getting a job. And it's like, you know, your family's going to be demanding of a lot of things from you. It's like, going to. They already are, dude.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me?
Yep.
The man barely touched the ground before Emily was getting in his ass about finances and buying her a real
ring.
Yeah,
how much
and
money
shit.
Did you bring? How much money did you make off the
right.
restaurant? When are you going to get me a ring? And, it's
and
just...
it all comes down to a central theme. It comes back to a central theme that Emily is a very selfish person.
Absolutely.
That's why she wanted to get that dick before. That's why it was so frustrating when she wanted to get some dick before he got to meet the son. Because it's just her controlling nature.
Yep.
It's like, dude, you know how much this means to him, and you don't give a damn. You want your dick.
Yep.
And that's all that matters. That's all she can think of. So, I don't know. He, in you know, they were concerned because Kobe didn't really know what to expect of America. It's like, dude, he just got here.
Yeah.
Like,
what?
You know what I mean?
Why didn't you expect that?
I mean, how much can he plan? He doesn't know what he's coming into. He's got to get a lay of the land first.
Yep.
And then he can come up with a plan. So... Okay, Belle Isle and Shida.
Belle Isle.
So, Belle Isle introduced Shida to his kids.
He did. And
it was a little awkward.
A little bit awkward. Shida definitely does not like games of any kind.
No. And so far, Belle Isle has only played games with her.
Yeah, so he really went the wrong route there with her.
Yeah.
And I felt like it was a little bit... rude of Shida to say no to playing any games with the kids because it's
right.
It's your first impression and that's what they're opting to do with you right away and you're mm-hmm. just like, no, I don't play any games. Can I tell you no, not now? And
yeah.
I don't know. It was
and then it was also but I thought it was also shitty of Belle Isle to kind of force her to
yeah, that's what the next thing I was gonna say where he's looking at her with his eyebrows
like,
raised
no,
and arms
you've
folded
got to.
Like, you better say yes to my kids.
Yeah. I feel like they're putting an enormous amount of pressure on Shida in that she has to get along with all of Belle Isle's family or it's a deal breaker. And that pressure really isn't reciprocated at all.
Yep.
It's all on her to get along with everyone else.
Yep. Like
right?
She better be Belle Isle's perfect. Whatever
right.
that is for Belle Isle, she better be it. And like it doesn't matter what he's doing or contributing or how he's making her feel. And
exactly.
And that's not fair.
And she kind of brings up at some point when she's talking about, well, you know, he has the nice house, he has the nice car, he's got the family, and now he has me. It's like she's just another thing. She's like a trophy.
A bonus mom.
Right, bonus mom. And it's like, I don't see a whole lot of them discussing Shida's goals other than she wants to be a mom for
which
herself.
She completely walks around and avoids.
You know,
it's
so funny about that.
Swats it right out of the way. Like, nope, not talking about
he
this.
He controls everything, but he will not control that subject.
Yep.
He's not getting anywhere near
it. Well,
he
controls it by not talking about it.
Well, yeah. Well, sure. Because the kids ask Shida, and she said, well, you know, that's more of a Belial question. And he's like, no, that's a you question. Like, oh, so now you're timid. Now you don't want to answer questions. You're not in control anymore.
Yep.
That's bullshit. I think he's kind of a narcissist. Not even kind of a narcissist.
I think he just is a narcissist.
Yeah. I mean, and as a narcissist, it's perfect that he's bringing a woman from another country and separating her from her friends and her family and being her all in everything.
Yep.
Because that's the attention he needs. He as a narcissist, she can't be distracted with friends and family, and she can't just turn around and leave. You know, she's got to get tickets.
Be completely dependent on him for everything.
Exactly. And that's what he wants, honestly. That's how I feel anyway. So he has all the economic power. He has all the power of, like, the relationship as far as, are we going to be together? Or are we not going to be together? It's such an imbalance of power.
Absolutely.
You know?
And I really felt bad for Shida, you know, as she's talking to, I think it was her sister on the phone about Belial, how he does that big-eyed thing and basically avoids the topic of children. And, it, you know, I felt bad for her when she started to get upset, you know, and teary-eyed because she left everything behind for this man who she said they've had conversations before about kids. And he's basically said, yeah, I'll have kids
with
you. He's
pulling a big head.
And now she's here and she's like, so we're going to have kids eventually, right? And he's just like, oh, what? Are you hungry? You want something to eat? And just, you know, totally avoids it. And
that's a scumbag move. That's a cruel thing for him to do. Just to say whatever she wanted to hear to get her to the country. And now that she's here, you know, he doesn't have to actually deliver.
Yeah, now he's
going
to do what he wants to do, which
and
is not.
And if he really loved her, if he doesn't, I don't fault him for not wanting to have more kids. The guy's in his 40s.
Yeah.
His kids are, you know, teenagers. I don't blame him for not wanting to start over again with a baby.
Right. But him knowing for a very long time, however long they've known each other, they've had multiple discussions. He's very much aware that this is very important
to her. It's important to her.
So, I mean, if those are those fundamental things where if you have those fundamental differences in a relationship, then no matter how much you like each other, whatever, it just isn't going to work.
You got to make that decision. You got to talk about it.
Yep.
You know, but give her the option. Tell her, like, listen, I don't want any more kids. Present that to her and allow her to say, well, you know what? I still want to stay in this relationship. Or allow her to fucking leave and find a guy that, you know, because she's in her late 30s. It's probably going to already be difficult for her to conceive.
Yep.
Right? And it's only going to get more difficult. So, dude, if you really loved her, give her the option.
Yep,
you know what I mean?
To find what it is that she's looking for, which is motherhood.
Right. But the absolute worst thing he can possibly do is knowing he doesn't want any more kids and then making a kid with her anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That would be even worse.
Yep.
You know?
Yep, definitely. And then, too, I think it's important or relevant of how he said that if his children don't like her, then, like, that's it for him. And so the children made it clear that they don't want him to have any more kids either. And so I could see him using that as, you know, like
as
a thing of, oh, you know, well, my kids, you know, won't like you if we have children. And if my kids don't like you, I can't be with you.
Oh, throw
so,
the kids
you know,
under the bus.
Yeah, like a manipulative kind of thing. You know, like, well, if my kids don't like you because you want to have another kid, then I'm not going to be able to be with you.
I mean, he just throws people under the bus left and right.
Right in front of
him. I wouldn't doubt it. So she wants the kids to call her Umi, which is interesting because that means mother. Now, again, Belial told his kids, don't call her mother. You already have a mother. And their kids were kind of confused in that moment. Like, well, Umi means mother.
Yep.
You know, this is dad's decision after all. It's nobody else's, right? So how can we call her Umi? We're not supposed to call her mom. And then Belial's just kind of like, yeah, well, you know, if that's what you guys want to call her, then whatever. It's like you're kind of giving mixed messages because you're very firm at first that you cannot call her mother. Don't call her mother.
Yeah, and on that note, I mean, why wouldn't he have had that kind of conversation with Shida in advance to kind of save her some awkwardness or humility right. of, you know, hey, you know.
What do you want the kids to call you?
Yep. And then, well, I don't know if it's appropriate right away, at least for you to call, for them to call
you
mom.
She did seem kind of hurt that the kids didn't take to it right away, but it's like, you know, dude.
Like, you just met them and.
You got to let it happen organically, you know.
And they're grown, you know, they're older children. So it's, you know, I mean, they're kind of, it is what it is where, you know, like the daughter was like, I don't know how I feel about calling her mom. I don't, you know, like. They're grown. They can make their own decisions. They have their own thoughts and stuff now at this age where it's a little bit harder, I think, than if it was like a 2-year-old, you know, hey, call me Umi, you know, mm-hmm. where to get them to change that. So
sure. Yeah. I mean, I just feel I feel bad for Shida in a lot of ways. You know, she's not perfect in the story, but I feel bad because it's like she needs to understand that she's just another part of Belial's story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She's a cog in his wheel. You know, it's his world. She's just living in it.
Yep.
And she needs to understand that she either needs to get used to that or leave because it's not changing.
Yep. And then that's the whole thing of narcissists is their life is all about it's a facade. It's a story. It's a picture they paint by collecting like the prettiest objects or things to put around them to make their life look fabulous to other people. And mm-hmm. that Shida is just another piece of that. Like beautiful sure. wife from another country, you know, playing house with me, you know, whatever, doing what I want. And
you're giving me everything I want and I don't give her anything she wants. Yeah. Right?
But overall, I think that conversation with the children was a very heavy conversation to be having
at the first time,
like about, I want you to call me mom. I want children. You know, I think it was just a very heavy conversation to have with kids right mm-hmm. away, you know.
That's true. And, you know, so it's kind of weird that with this show, typically we focus on whether or not the foreigner is doing this for the right reasons. And now we have an example of an American that's perhaps not doing it for the right reasons. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. All right. America's couple, Ari and Benny.
Oh, gosh. Them.
Yeah. How about mom's stupid sign and light up glasses?
Yeah, so embarrassing. And
I
was annoyed, too, during all that when she kept telling Benny, like, oh, we're a crazy family. We're a crazy family. Like, you know, you're not crazy because you're wearing light up glasses. You may be embarrassing, but you're not a crazy family.
Hey, we're a crazy family. Get used to it. What that means is we're going to be getting involved with your relationship.
Yeah, that's
and
really
what can I tell
the
you?
Subtitles.
We're crazy, you know. That's just how we are. You married into this. You
AKA,
knew it.
We're just going to be overly involved in your relationship.
That's how I read it.
Yeah, me too.
Immediately.
Me too.
And, you know, they're tired. They're in the car. And Ari's like, hey, we're in New Jersey. Like, he's supposed to be excited. He's like, dude, no one's ever excited about being in New Jersey,
Absolutely
dude.
Not. Absolutely you know? Not.
Leave that fucking man alone.
And then they get there to the apartment. And, you know, the Ari's mom is like, oh, we paid the deposit, we paid the first month's rent.
We got you a two-bedroom.
We got you a two-bedroom apartment mm-hmm. In our apartment building, so you're close to us. Mm-hmm. And we paid for, you know, your cable, and we set up this, we set up that. We got you this bed, blah, blah, blah.
They made an awful lot of decisions without them being involved.
Yes. And then they're like, oh, by the way, in the next month or so, you're going to have to take over these bills.
Within about 3 months or so, like, listen, lady, that's such an amazing thing for them to do to pay for the rent. But if you're going to do that to them, you know, as far as picking the apartment for them and getting them a two-bedroom and stuff, you got to communicate with them and say, listen, you're going to be taking over these payments, so tell me what you can afford.
Yep.
That's what they should have done.
That's where this is the most concrete time where I know I've defended Ari in some ways in the past, but this is the most concrete scenario where, like, I'm on her side.
I hate it, but I have to agree with her.
But they should have said, hey, you know, we can cover the first month or so of, you know, your bills for housing and such.
Yeah.
But, you know, we can help you find a place, but what do you think your ideal budget is going to be? And then they at least one have a heads up because, you know, the parents have been paying for everything for the last several years
at least.
And so it is a little, you know, it's prissy of Ari to be, you know, as old as she is and with a kid and a husband or fiance and being cared for by her family financially. Yeah, it's a little bit, you know, privileged. But when you're going to cut them off, I think you do have to give them a heads up on that.
Definitely. And it's like, you know, dude, expect them to take over the payments in a couple of months. Benny can't work.
Yeah.
Benny can't work. And there's no indication. They don't ever tell you how long that's going to take.
Yep.
It's just, it's going to take how long it takes. You know, it is what it is. So it's just, It's one of those, there's a phrase for it and I don't remember. It's like a poisoned gift.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's such a sweet gesture to like do that for them, but they're kind of getting fucked in the end.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So it, I hate to agree with her, but I think she's, I think Ari is right in this
situation. That's what Ari even said. She's like, you know, I mean, if I had known, I mean, it was really nice and stuff. I don't want to be ungrateful, but I mean, they could have at least got the one bedroom that would have been, I'm sure, significantly cheaper. But quite the mom cheaper. Just picked everything, made all the choices. And
you know what? That's another indication that they're going to be so involved in everything. Like you didn't even discuss this with them. You made the decisions for them. Like, and you're not going to be overly involved. I don't buy it for a minute. And this is just the beginning.
Absolutely. First day.
It's either this or worse. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Okay, Patrick and Thais. So, kind of weird, and I don't like it when people do this. He bought her a dog, like as a present.
Yeah. Does she like dogs? Does he know that?
I don't know. I imagine. I mean, that's kind of a weird thing to do for someone if you don't know they like dogs, but mm-hmm. Patrick seems like kind of a weird guy, so I don't know. Maybe he doesn't even know if she likes dogs and just bought her a cute dog.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's a little...
I mean, obviously getting a pet is a big commitment. And
it's a huge commitment. Yeah.
And then you're bringing her over. You're going to have to get adjusted to her and stuff, but now you're also going to have to get adjusted to having a puppy, you know?
Right.
So a lot kind of at once.
You should have waited until she was there so you guys can pick a puppy together.
Yeah, that too.
That would have been a better option, but... I noticed that with 90 Day Fiancé, anytime the woman is from a Latin American country, they always have footage of them dancing and like shaking their ass. They always did, without fail, every single time.
Maybe that's the culture. They're like the whole, I don't know, not salsa,
Brazilian,
but
they like butt stuff in Brazil. They like butt stuff.
Butt stuff. I mean, Brazilian butt, right? I mean,
right, you know. So, but
if you got it, flaunt it, I guess.
It's just, it's interesting to me. Like it's always, if they're from, you know, they're from Russia, they... Well, you know what? I think that we've seen some Russian dancing too.
Yeah, what was it? Brandon. Yeah. I forget her name.
Carla. No, it wasn't Carla. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Brandon's wife.
Yeah.
That hated the farm.
Yeah, they absolutely hated the farm. Hated it. And that was no secret. She was very, very open about that.
She was clear about that. I have to respect her. She was clear. So they definitely showed her dancing. I believe so.
Yeah.
Thais, super close with her family.
Yet didn't tell her dad she's moving.
She's getting married. She told her he knows that she's going, but she doesn't know.
But
she
told him
too
it was temporary. She danced around it. She's like, if I don't like it, I'll come back. But she didn't outright say I'm moving there.
Yeah.
She kept it very cleverly vague. And
yeah, she definitely did not let him in on the whole story.
Yeah.
And you know what? Her dad seems like a pretty stand-up dude, but the thing I don't like is about men who are super, super protective over their daughters, specifically about, like, sexual stuff. It creeps me out a little bit. Like, it's almost incestuous in a way. Like, dude, your kids are going to fuck, man.
Yeah.
You fucked.
Yeah, right.
You know? They're going to fuck, too. There's nothing you can, you know, quote-unquote, do about it.
Yeah.
Other than raise them to the best of your ability so that they can make a sound judgment
sound
on their
safe
own.
Decisions and, yeah.
Right. But, you know, your kids are going to fuck, man. It's just the way it is.
Yes.
You know, I've got kids. They're going to fuck. Ugh. But I've fucked. My wife has fucked. So I can't, you know, what can I do about it? Nothing. So just enjoy the ride, you know?
Or let her enjoy the ride, you
well,
know what I'm saying?
You know. You know what I mean?
Ugh.
And this dad already doesn't like Patrick, because he kind of gets the impression that Patrick's just another American come to Brazil to take advantage of Brazilian women. And I remember hearing comedian Patrice O'Neill talking at length on Opie and Anthony about his trips to Rio de Janeiro, specifically to hook up with prostitutes down there.
Hmm.
It immediately made me think of that. So I think that's a pretty common thing of like wealthy Americans going into Brazil to hook up with, yeah, the ladies down there.
Must be the Brazilian butts.
A Brazilian butt stuff, you know?
Brazilian butt stuff.
And it kind of, you know, hit me in the dad feelings when Thais's dad, you know, clearly macho dude, nice mustache, breaks down and starts crying, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, you know, I felt him there.
Yeah.
I mean,
you can feel that he really cares for her and, you know, it's...
Definitely. That's a dad's love right there.
And then it makes it even worse that knowing that he doesn't know for sure she's moving and getting married.
And getting married.
I mean, he's going to be super hurt when he finds out the truth.
Patrick has not really come around the dad a lot of times, so he's kind of suspicious about him anyway.
Yeah, he was there, what, like 14, 15 times, and he's only seen the dad, I think,
like
two or three.
Once, twice. Yeah. That's a little weird.
Yeah.
I also think it's weird that Patrick got his back waxed, and the only good reason I can think of is that maybe they're both into pegging. And pegging is when a woman puts a strap on around her waist and gives it to the dude in the ass.
I'm familiar, thank
you. Oh, okay. Okay, well, you looked like you're confused. So I suspect that Patrick likes to get it doggy style, and maybe Thais is really aggressive and, like, pulls on his back hair. So he's just going to cut her off at the pass, get rid of all that back hair, so, you know, he doesn't enjoy that level of pain.
That's a pretty thorough conspiracy theory.
I mean,
there.
It's one theory.
It's one theory, yeah. I think that maybe he just has a hairy back and just, you know, maybe she doesn't know he has a hairy back.
Can you imagine
and he's trying
John,
to, you know,
his brother John in the next room while he's getting pegged in the ass? And he's just like,
I hate this.
Just like, hey, quiet down in there. I'm trying to watch the Sox.
With his Boston accent. Ugh, gross.
That's awful.
You know what? Also, on the same note, how come John couldn't just shave his back for him?
You know, there are some boundaries you gotta keep.
I don't know. John seems to be all for pushing all boundaries and having no, you know, separation.
I know for a fact my brother would shave my back for me, but I'd rather punch him in the mouth than have him fucking shave my back. That just seems uncomfortable to me.
Just
an awkward
exchange for sure. But yeah. But the bigger question is, why didn't TLC film him getting his back waxed? That would have been something. Yeah, that would have been something, you know, him and
like
Thais
a 40-year-old virgin moment.
Touching their tongues and stuff, real zoomed in in the airport. Like that you film?
Jesus
I want to see his back waxed. I want to see that.
I want to see what it was like before then. It probably just looked like a Thai jungle.
Missed opportunity. They blew it.
Okay, Kara and Guillermo.
I just keep disliking Kara more and more
every time.
It just like she's not doing anything. Like her, you know, her, you know, rating or, you know, what do they call it when with the president, how likable they are? Approval rating. Yeah, it just it's already in the negatives, man. It just keeps dipping.
I hate that whole thing about, like, oh, my uncle's a big, tough guy, and he'll probably threaten to beat you up.
Yeah, how many times did she tell him, oh, my uncle's going to kick your ass, my uncle's going
to
beat you up,
way
he probably could beat your ass.
The first time and then at the dinner table, she's like, well, he could fuck you up if he wanted to.
Yep.
Like, okay, nice to meet you.
Yeah,
like,
thank
what?
You.
What the fuck?
You know? Well, watch yourself.
Like, we're all family, but I will break a foot off in your ass, boy. Like, what?
Yeah, very, very. And the uncle was pretty nice.
She
was
totally
her,
exaggerating.
Yeah. Being like, oh, he can fuck you up if he wants, just so you know.
She was playing it up. Yeah, she was playing it up. He was a totally normal dude, and it seemed like he liked Guillermo. Like, I don't like her. She's annoying as shit. And their segment was pretty short, so that's
thankfully
good. So we can move right on to Eve and Mo. What a trip. So Eve is getting ready for work.
Yeah.
Mo is sleeping, which is, you can expect that. He can't work, so, you know. They did the nasty, so that's cool. He's a pillow hugger, which I thought that was interesting for a dude to admit that he hugs a pillow.
Well, I mean, when you factor in how much he really loves his mother and loves to be cared for,
at least he wasn't
like
cuddling
a baby
with mom.
Yeah. It's, you know, maybe because he didn't have mom, he was hugging his pillow. I don't know.
He definitely seemed a little confused about the fact that she works.
Yeah,
like, you know, he doesn't seem like he's used to the idea that a woman actually works.
I mean, maybe he wanted her or thought she would take the next day off to just get him adjusted, show him where, you know, where the salt and pepper is,
hey,
you know,
fuck
things
that.
Like that.
People need to be healed with sound. No.
And I don't think it's a big deal that she did go to work. I mean, again, she has to make money to support both
he
of them
work.
And her son.
Yeah. Right.
He seems very, very confused about the whole situation he's in. It's like he just found a mom in the United States, and he's upset that she's not acting
that's
like a mom.
Fucking weird, man.
Like he's very
wants breakfast
very
breakfast in bed.
Breakfast in bed.
I think he's playing it up a little for the cameras, though.
Maybe, but
I mean,
he seems a little bit stupid. So I'm not sure that it's played up. I think he really had this expectation.
I don't know. I think might be playing it up a little bit. I mean, I don't know. I can't believe that in all of Egypt that all the women just give their men breakfast in bed. Like, at some point, do you think that they would tell them, like, go fuck yourself, make your own breakfast? You know what I mean?
And it's probably not all, but just like here in America, there are families that baby the fuck out of their children until they really shouldn't anymore. Even Hamza from before the 90 days, you know, his mom made his bed for him and stuff like that. So it, and he was a grown man, and it just
don't get used to not making me breakfast.
And so back to Muhammad, yeah. He's very upset that he can't wash his ass with a bidet. He's very upset about that.
Yeah,
so
you know
that.
What? And he tried to hook that up himself, and I've hooked up a couple of bidets. It's not that hard, man. He can't do things for himself.
That's exactly what I thought. Is it's not an issue of it hard. He just can't do anything by himself.
Right. Yeah. Like I said, it's literally you just gotta. You put it on the toilet. You unhook the water going to the toilet, and you hook in this little thing, and it's done. Like it doesn't take more than 20 minutes.
I mean, even did you see the way he was trying to crack that egg open? It was like he's never cracked an egg before.
She fucked up. Because immediately when she was telling him, like, oh, you need to cook, and I saw the pan on the stove and everything, my first thought is, listen, you got to give him something microwavable. He's going to burn the fucking house down. And yeah,
He almost did.
He left that pan on the fucking hot stove and forgot about it.
Yep.
Like, dude, she's playing a dangerous game. But I also love that the producers, this is another example, the producers kind of stood by while he was fumbling around with the bidet when they could have easily been like, dude, this is easy.
Like, yeah, like kind of helped him a little bit.
And B, they stood around while he almost burned down the fucking house. And they're just like, yeah, no, keep rolling.
And then they
this
zoom in
gold.
On the really hot pan as he's holding it, like, oops.
Yeah.
Like, good job, guys.
So I think for the time being, Muhammad's just going to have to take a post-shit shower.
Yeah, he's going to have to just figure it out and... You know, and it looked like he successfully made some eggs, so good for him.
Yeah.
He's, you know, a little bit older and wiser now than he was when he started. But, and then also, him with Eve's kid, he's also confused because she's like, hey, do you mind watching him? Which will be, he'll be the stepdad, right? So it's like he's confused of, you know, oh, I came here. It's basically like, I came here for a mommy. I didn't come here to be a babysitter.
Yeah, right. Well, you know what? And that's the thing. He seemed very sweet with the kid, which I was glad to see because I've got these awful kids give me these bitchy dad emotions. So I was glad to see that he was kind of being sweet with the kid and everything. And so far, Muhammad has been a bit of a letdown. So it was kind of nice to see him almost kind of redeem himself a little bit.
But then he fucks it all up again seconds later.
Right.
When he's like, I don't want to babysit him. It's like,
and you know what? The cruelest thing that Muhammad could possibly do in this situation is allow this kid to get attached and bonded with him and then, like, just leave.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, if he's not willing to be a real permanent dad to this kid, he should just leave him alone now.
I agree, 100%.
You know what I mean? So, like, their life is hard enough already, and that kid deserves more than that. And it's like that old, you know, it's kind of cheesy, but it's true. Like if you can't help, do no further harm.
Yeah,
that's what Muhammad needs to really think about.
Yep.
And you know,
so Muhammad is, to summarize that, he's upset that he has to wipe his ass. He's upset that he has to cook his own meals outside of bed.
But I wipe my own ass.
And clearly, Muhammad does not wipe his own ass.
No, he missed that one.
So he never learned that skill. And then he's also upset that he has to babysit who should be his stepson. Eventually.
Ooh, he probably doesn't even know it's front to back. He's got shitty nuts.
Oh, gross.
Good Lord. But yeah, I mean, dating a woman with a kid is next level shit, but dating a woman with special needs kids is like another five levels.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, and she actually brought something up. Eve brought something up that I never really thought about, but it totally makes sense because, you know, finding childcare for a special needs kid, because finding childcare anyways is a bitch. Like just regular... straightforward childcare.
Expensive as fuck.
Dude, when both my kids were in daycare, it was my daycare payment was more than my mortgage and student loans combined.
Ugh.
Motherfucker, is it expensive. But then finding childcare for a special needs kid, I can't even fucking imagine.
And to be able to fully trust that they are caring for your special needs child appropriately
the correct way. Right, absolutely. So, yeah, you know, it's pretty shitty of Muhammad to kind of so far resent the role of being, you know, stepdad, which is what he signed up for. And I mean, she didn't lie about having a special needs kid.
Yep.
You know, so it was shitty of him to be like kind of snooty weird about that. But I also thought, how funny would it be in that moment when he's sitting with the kid and he's like, you like presents, right? He's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he goes back and comes, what if he came out with the bidet? And he's like, can you fucking put this together? How great would that be?
We're going to put it together. And like, no, yeah.
Yeah, well, that just about does it for episode 5 of 90 Day Fiancé. Tune in with us next week and we'll discuss episode 6.
Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Goodbye.